Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, this is another entry into the Conan the Barbarian overview. In this episode, I'm going to talk about Zingara and Argos. Zingara and Argos are two separate kingdoms or regions, but they're pretty close geographically, and I figured there's not a whole lot on both of them individually, so I'm lumping them in together just to fill out the episode. So in other words, I don't want you to associate Argos with Zingara. There's no relationship between the two at all. It's just that they are, as I say, geographically close to one another. And geographically, they are, if you'll recall from the Aquilonia episode, south of Aquilonia. So it goes Aquilonia, and then the Putain Mountains, and then under the Putain Mountains, Zingara, and then under Zingara, Argos. Somewhat confusingly, Zingara is also said to lie north of Koth, which suggests that immediately south of Zingara is Koth. It is not, however, stated explicitly that Argos is part of Koth, or is located in Koth at all. So it's a little bit difficult to say for sure what Argos is and to whom it belongs, and where it really lies, and whether it's just a little region over by a sea or an ocean, or whether it is part of Zingara or part of Koth. It's not really clear, so I am treating it a little bit as its own thing. It is really difficult to be sure, though. Now, the reason I'm bringing all of this up is that Koth itself is a very major region in the Conan the Barbarian universe. It's pretty important. I have reason to believe that Argos is not part of Koth, because although some of the names of, for instance, the gods in Koth, which we'll go over in the Koth episode, are a little bit related to Argos in one way or another, I think that Argos is not part of Koth because one of the explicit trade partners with one of the regions in Koth is Argos, and I feel like they wouldn't be trading necessarily with themselves. So I think Argos must be a freestanding region, or it's part of Zingara, but it's spoken of as separate to Zingara the times that it is mentioned near Zingara, so it kind of means to me that it's a free state. Those are my assumptions. Apologies to Robert E. Howard's ghost if I am incorrect. So Zingara, just south of Aquilonia and the Putain Mountains, it is known as a land of chivalry, but also famous for being the home of fiend-haunted swamps. So it can be a noble place, but also a dangerous place. Now, Zingara and Argos, and presumably, since Koth is south of these, also Koth, but, and certainly there's it's definite that part of Koth is in this collection, but this region is kind of a cradle for a very rich and burgeoning trade route. You could almost think of it, if you're a fan of Pirates of the Caribbean, as kind of the Caribbean of the Conan world. That's going a little bit far, probably, but in terms of the activity that happens in this region, it's very much, it thrives from its proximity to this ocean, or this large body of water that it's close to. Just off the south coast of Zingara are the Baraka Islands. That's Baracha Islands. It's off the south coast of Zingara, and it's the home to a lot of trade between Mesantia, one of the largest seaport cities in Argos, possibly the seacoast city in Argos, and the freebooters, or freebooters is kind of what they're called. They call themselves frequently. They're pirates. There's a port city or island or something near the Baraka Islands, or within the Baraka Islands, called Tortage. Tortage. I know nothing about it except that it exists. A lot of the Barakan pirates are Argosian citizens, but there's plenty of piracy to go around, and you get Shemites and Cushites and Kothians and, well, technically Sumerians, lots of different pirates. It's a pretty diverse group. One of the coastal cities of Zingara that you'll hear about from time to time is Cordava, K-O-R-D-A-V-A. We don't really hang out there for very long. A little bit more detail is given about Mesantia, and you'll hear about Mesantia a couple of times throughout the books. It is a major city in Argos. All the seaports of Argos are cosmopolitan, in strong contrast with the island provinces like the Baraka Islands, but Mesantia is the most diverse of them all. They get crafts from all the major maritime nations in its harbor, and they have refugees and fugitives from lands all around. Laws there are fairly lax. Mesantia thrives on the trade of the sea, and it kind of takes the good with the bad. It resembles a little bit, for me, Dilith Lean in Lovecraft's Dreamland saga, the way that it is such a large city and gets so many different vessels into its port that it, you know, the people there kind of turn a blind eye when it's profitable to do so. And that's kind of the law of the land, of Argos itself, or at least of Mesantia, and it is strongly implied, rather, that this kind of relaxed kind of law of Argos is the thing that enables Argosian pirates along the Baraken Islands, and just, you know, both the good and the bad of the things happening out there on the sea. There is one character I guess I should mention, just because I like to give names when they're available, and that is Tito, T-I-T-O. Maybe his name is Tito, I don't know. He's a licensed master shipman of the ports of Argos. His ship is the Argus, A-R-G-U-S. It mans about 24 people, and he's a pretty, you know, legitimate kind of upstanding businessman in Argos, at least when we meet him. Turns out, from conversation with Conan, you learn that Tito, or Taito, used to be a freebooter, or a pirate, and it kind of tries to keep that concealed, maybe not talk about it too much, because it's one of those things that could really hurt his business. So it is not uncommon, really, for Argosians to maybe moonlight a little bit. Legitimate businessman by day, a little bit of a freebooter by night, that sort of thing. Or in your youth, you're a freebooter, you grow up to be a nice, respectable businessman, that kind of thing. It's very, very common in that region. But not everything in the region happens out on the sea. And indeed, if we go a little bit up north for a moment, we would encounter Count Valbroso, who I think I briefly mentioned in the Aquilonian episode, the episode about Aquilonia, but I want to mention him again here because I'm pretty sure that he is in fact Zingaran, or if the authorities decided to move against him, I think the burden would lay on the Zingaran authority, because I believe he falls within their jurisdiction rather than Aquilonia. It is difficult to say because he's in the Poitanian Mountains, so it's kind of difficult to say who's responsible for this guy. And maybe that's a source of contention for them as well, because maybe neither of them want to claim him or claim responsibility for him. His name is Count Valbroso, V-A-L-B-R-O-S-O. He has a castle, grand castle, perched high up on a bare hill in the Poitanian Mountains, overlooking the road in eastern Zingara on the way to Argos. The problem is that he tends to patrol these roads and stop caravans that look particularly wealthy and relieve them of part of their wealth. And he's a big guy. He's a tough one. He rides on these patrols himself. He's not the guy staying in the castle waiting for his commandant to return with the spoils of their patrol. He goes out with them. He takes about 30 spearmen, all of them big and threatening and menacing, and they patrol the roads, and let's just say he taxes people as he sees fit. He keeps a guy in his dungeons named Beloso, B-E-L-O-S-O, who is his chief jailkeeper, and torturer. You kind of need a torture master in this Dungeons and Dragons sword and sorcery Conan world, because a lot of times when you go and rob caravans, the spoils that you bring back are protected. They're in a puzzle box, maybe, or they're in a trap that if you open it incorrectly, it will kill you, or maybe it's protected by magic. And so to unlock these great treasures, sometimes Valbroso and his men will bring back someone who they believe would know how to unlock the treasures and torture them until they give in. That's their business model, and it seems to work pretty well, because Count Valbroso, you get the feeling that he's been in operation for quite some time, and you don't really get the idea that anyone is going to go up against him anytime soon. So that's Zingara and Argos. I should mention that in the Conan universe, there actually are quite a few monstrous beings, and I haven't really talked about this that much yet, only because I kind of felt like I was probably going to just cover all the monstrous beings and the different races of the Conan world in its own episode, and that may be the case. I might just do that, but I may as well mention it also in context. So in Zingara specifically, I remember it's famous for both its chivalry as well as its fiend-infested swamps. And in fact, there are some ghouls there that happen to be mentioned. Their half-forgotten memories surged back of grisly tales whispered of the shapes that haunted these uninhabited forests at the foot of the hills that mark the Zingaran-Argosian border. Ghouls, man called them, eaters of human flesh, spawn of darkness, children of unholy matings of a lost and forgotten race with the demons of the underworld. Somewhere in these primitive forests were the ruins of an ancient accursed city, men whispered, and among its tombs slunk gray, anthropomorphic shadows. That's a quote from Hour of the Dragon, I think. And that is it. That's all the information I have on Zingara, and all the information I have on Argos. I think the emphasis on the region in the book, I think, has probably come across, and that is that the scene along the coastal cities. There are a couple of different times where Conan encounters either pirates or freebooters or whatever you want to call them, or is caught on an island off the coast of some place. So that's this region for you. It's that buccaneer feel without necessarily the swashbuckling, just the piracy without necessarily the panache. It's a little bit more brutal than that. But there's always that mix of treasure hunting as well. So pirates, sure, they attack other ships. That's fine. But in the Conan universe, everyone's always looking for that hidden treasure. Not the buried treasure kind, unprotected, marked X on a map, but the stuff guarded by a ghoul or a fiend or some great ancient spirit that they didn't even know existed until it kills half their crew. That's the brand of piracy you'll encounter in the Conan the Barbarian world, and it's one that I find quite appealing to carry over into my own stories or into my own games, because it's as cool as things like Pirates of the Caribbean are, there is a certain realism to that, authenticity to that, which I know probably no one's ever said that Pirates of the Caribbean was authentic before, but you know what I mean? It's very based in Earth history, whereas Conan piracy smacks of Hyborian history or some other history. It's a little bit disassociated from all of the Spanish galleons and British naval sorts of panache that you find in even the fantasy versions of piracy. It tends to wiggle its way in there. Not in Conan. It's quite distinct. So thank you for listening to this episode. I will talk to you next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.